Sports, so we're going to kind of see how that all comes together, And Thursday of this coming week, we will start an adult Bible study at 10 o'clock. We'll do Experiencing God here at 10 o'clock. I'll be leading that. And then at noon, Lunch with a Bunch, we'll be doing the Book of Revelation. So if you want to come be a part of that, bring a sack lunch if you're going to be hungry. And I will eat it for you. And I won't eat it for you, but bring your lunch if you want, and eat as we go through the study, that'd be fine. And we're going to start that this Thursday at noon to 1 o'clock. Keep our prayer requests. You had Walt Meyer, who is, I don't know how he's doing, I haven't talked to him in the last week. But Walt, we hope you're doing well as Cheryl, who is by your side. And you hang in there, my friend. And I know we do have Lynn Ann Burns, who is going through some grieving and sorrow at this time with the passing of her dad. So we're glad that you're here today, Lynn Ann. It's tough times to know that that has taken place. There's a real loss that's there. Just want to remind those of you that are not here at church on Sunday morning, but we do put a bulletin, some bulletins in the outside library box. So if you wanted, you're out driving around or wanted to come sometime like Friday or Saturday and pick up one, you'll be able to get today's bulletin and see what, everything that's going on. You'll have the same thing that we have here. And so we make that available for you outside at that library box, and it should be open, right, Charlie?
Yes.
Is it ever locked?
No.
Okay, it's never locked. So don't ever say, I couldn't get into the door. It is open for you. And then also, we've got coming events. Joy Kids are going to be starting up on September 23rd. And we've been putting together some YouTube things for some of the younger ones that they can go onto YouTube. And the older ones will be coming here to the church, I believe. And then keep in mind, too, the annual business meeting, which will be Sunday, October 4th. Here, right after the worship service, we'll have that annual business meeting. And hope you can be a part of that. Did anything you want to say about the business meeting?
It'll be announced.
Okay, all right, we'll keep you posted on that. So just Experiencing God also, we'll do that Thursday morning for some of you that don't want to drive at night, but we'll also meet Sunday night at 6:30 here at the church to do Experiencing God. So it'll be kind of like two different groups. You can pick the one that will work best for you, and there'll be no problem with that. So that's all the announcements that I am going to give today.
Yeah.
Yes, I see that hand.
Yes.
Over there.
Well, I'd love to see also in the announcement that you are offering private communion.
Oh yeah. I had that part. I just didn't. Yes, if you would like a private communion, meaning you cannot be here or unable to be here at the church, just call the church office, let Charlie know, or call, if I'm in the office, I can talk to you too. I'd be more than glad to come to your place. If it's a nursing home, assisted living place, I don't know, nursing homes will let me in.
Yeah.
That'd be assisted living.
Yeah.
We'll work that all out, but I'd be more than glad to do that with you. So thank you, Nancy, for bringing that to my attention there. Well, that's all the announcements that I have for today. Our next song is At Your Name, and let you take it away. Thank you. from Isaiah, as well as 1 John. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
Appreciate your leading us in worship this morning. morning, as always, even though we're a couple short today. Can't have everybody here all the time, you know. For the offering, there is no offering, but there are plates distributed different places in the church. I think as you come in, there's a plate there, there's a plate back by the sound man back there. And Jeff, keep your fingers out of that. But if you want to give, you can give at your pleasure on the way out, or even if you need to stretch during a sermon, just to move your body, you can get up and do that too, no problem. But I do want to invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the New Testament, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. It says this: Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king." So now Jesus starts saying this parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began to settle it, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked guy, you wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Heavenly Father, we thank you that your words are always true. Thank you that we can hear them today. We can let them into our hearts and into our lives and say, "Lord, have your way with me today. Use what we have before us today through your Holy Spirit to teach us, to show us, give us wisdom, bring conviction if that is also needed today, that would draw us closer to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen." You may be seated. Got to keep in mind that this is a parable that comes from the result of Peter going to Jesus with a question about forgiveness. And so Peter asked Jesus, "How many times do I need to forgive someone who continues to hurt me?" You had anybody like that in your life? Keeps coming back to hurt you and says things that you don't like, that just kind of puts a knife in your heart, or you kind of say, "Oh, those backstabbers." No. The rabbis in the time of Jesus, at that time, they taught that you needed to forgive someone who offended you 3 times. That's all you needed to do. Forgive them three times, and that's good enough. Well, Peter knows that. And so Peter goes, well, I'll forgive seven times. That's four more times than three. And so he's thinking he's doing quite a favor. He's being quite generous in his forgiveness. Well, then Jesus kind of puts it in a different perspective. He goes, no, not seven times, Peter, but how about 70 times seven, which is 490 times, and who's going to keep track? You know, I'm going to mark it down. Oh, I forgave that person. Now, this is the 24th time I've forgiven him, and I still got to go how many more to get to 490? In other words, when it comes to forgiveness, it's not about numbers of how many times you forgive, but it's an attitude where forgiveness, through the eyes of Jesus, it's unlimited. No, we're to forgive over and over again. How do you like them apples? You know, do you like forgiving over and over and over again? Or do you have a point where you go like, that's it. I've had it. I've forgiven enough here, and I'm not giving any more. Next time I see that person, I'm going to let them have it. But Jesus is telling Peter here, as he's telling us today, that this is how we are to deal with one another. Now, church people have no problem with this. Right? We're perfect people. I'm glad you're laughing out there, because we aren't. We need to learn how to forgive one another, probably more so than anyone else. I forgive you for leaving, Bob. I'm glad you came back. So, have a seat. So Jesus explains a parable. You know, a parable is always a story of how he's going to communicate a truth that we need to understand, and for Peter to understand, as well as those that will hear this parable later on. And so he always begins, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wants to settle accounts with his servants. Now, what kind of a king does this? What king wants to settle his accounts with his servants? It's kind of backwards. It should be really the other way around. A servant should be going to the king of saying, I know I owe you something, or I know that this is my debt to you, and I want to work out a way in which I can pay you back everything that I owe you. But in this case, in this parable, it's not that way. It's the king who wants to settle his accounts with his servants. And that's his desire here. And so the very first man, of course, the very first man that comes to the king, or the king has to deal with, is somebody who does not know how to handle finances at all. And he's in debt up to his ears and beyond. And so the king tells this man that this man who has a I've got a fly. I hate flies. And it goes back to when I grew up on the farm and waiting during harvest time, there were flies in the cab of the truck. And you know, I wanted to kind of sleep. And they'd fly around and land on you, and I just hated that. So I took a fly swatter with me, and I killed a lot of flies in my day. So I keep telling my grandkids, I'm as fast as a cat. Grab one. There we go. Back to the sermon. This man who the king deals with is one who owes him a huge debt. It says here that he owes him 10,000 talents. Now, we don't have that in our currency system, a talent. Do you know how much a talent is? It's in the millions today. In other words, what this guy owes the king is way beyond, there's no way he can ever repay it. He can't. And if he's going to be in jail or in prison, how do you make enough money to try paying him back? But the king tells him, you know, kind of like, go sell your wife and your kids. Now, that's an idea. That wouldn't work today, though, would it? So, I don't know what I'd do without my wife. You know? But that's how they did things back in the day. And the servant, when he heard the king say this to him, he fell on his knees. He begged the king, be patient with me, as if the king had not already been patient with the guy. But be patient with me, and I will pay back everything that I owe you. And for some reason, the king, the servant's master here, he took pity on the guy. He had mercy on him. He canceled his debt, and then he let him go. Now, isn't that grace? Now, you'd think that this guy would have ran home to his wife and kids and hugged them and said, we're debt free, honey. We don't have to pay the king back anything. You know how deep in debt we've been, how much I owe the king. He just forgave or canceled the debt, and he let me go. I'm here with you for the rest of my life. Now, she probably could have said to him, well, you jerk, you got us in this trouble, you get back to the king and make it right with him. But we don't find that that's what went on. Instead, the servant, who's been forgiven for a great debt, he goes and he finds another person in his life who he knows that owes him some money, and he is not so happy and generous with this guy. This guy owes him 100 denarii. Now, one denarii is back in Jesus' day is like a one day's wage. That's one denarii. For a common person, a Roman soldier, be one denarii a day is what you would get for a wage. So he owes him 100 days of work, which in time, that's doable, that you could pay this off. But when he found this guy, he grabbed him. And not just grabbed him, but he choked him. Put his hands around his throat and started choking the guy. You better pay up. You owe me. Pay me up. And the guy says to him, he falls on his knees and he begs him, and he says, I promise to pay you back. You better be patient with me. Now, doesn't this sound familiar? The very same thing that this guy who was forgiven did to the king, now he's got someone who owes him 100 denarii. And at this time, back in history, it'd be like about 12 bucks. That's not a 20 days wages, but back in the day of Jesus, it'd be about 12 bucks is what this guy owed him. It's 100 denarii. Which reminds me of an average family who is in Chad, Africa, or Cameroon, Africa. The average family makes anywhere from $300 to $350 a year. That's what they live on. Quite incredible. So if you wanted to say, well, what does this currency would be today? It just depends upon what occupation you have or that you did have. You go like, well, this is about what I would make in one day. And you just kind of add that up. But it would be something you could still pay off. Compared to the guy that the king forgave and canceled his debt, there's no way possible the guy could ever pay that off. And so he did not show mercy, he did not take pity on this friend of his that owed him some money. But instead he had the man arrested and had him thrown into jail until he could pay off his debt. And again I say, well, how can you pay off a debt if you're in jail? That's a lot of license plates you have to make, aren't they? I don't know what you make, what you get for that. They probably don't make them anymore. Well, some of the servants, it went back to the king who forgave this man of his debt. And the king calls his servant into his presence, and he calls him for the first time, "You wicked man. I canceled all of your debt. Don't you remember that? I canceled everything from you, for you. Shouldn't you have done the same thing for your friend, for your servant?" And the king was so angry, he put him in jail. And yet the jailers were also ones that could torture the guy until he'd pay back his debt, which you kind of go like, well, this ain't going to happen. Remember, this is a parable. This is a story that Jesus is using to try to get through to this whole idea when it comes to forgiving one another. And so we conclude with this. When it comes to forgiveness, isn't it easier said than done? It's easier said than done. It's just like picking apples off of a big tree. It's over at Norma and Elmer's place. You got that big apple tree there. And if you tell me, Pastor, go pick all those apples off that tree, I'd say it's easier said than done. It's a big tree. But there's just a bag of apples out in the foyer. I don't know who brought those, but you can just grab a bag and take it home. Easy. That one's easy to say and easy to do. But what else is there when it comes easier said than done? Forgiveness is one of those things. How about losing weight or going on a diet? Isn't that easier said than done? Yeah, it gives you a little idea. There's a lot of things in life that we go like, easier said than done. How about to win a game of Farkle? Well, easier said than done. But how about saying, "I'm sorry"? You know you should say you're sorry to your husband or to your wife or to whomever, and you just don't want to do it. You know it's the right thing to do, but I'm just not going to say it. Or to say, "Will you forgive me? Will you just forgive me for what has taken place?" Easier said than done. Jesus teaches us that forgiveness is not to be withheld from anyone. But when we do forgive, it is to come from our heart. He wants forgiveness to really come from our heart. Forget about the numbers or how many times to try to forgive someone. It's just that when you forgive. You know, in God's eyes, He forgets. Do you find it hard to forget? I can forgive, but I still remember what you said, what you did, or what's going on. But we look at the scriptures, it's not that way with God. When God forgives, He forgets. And that's wonderful. Because if you bring it back up to God and say, "Will you forgive me again, Lord? I can't get this out of my mind," God's going to say, "What are you talking about? I don't remember anything what you're saying here. I forgave you once, I forgot about it." It's like as far as the east is from the west is how the Lord removes our sins from us. In Isaiah, it says that God forgives and remembers our sins no more. It's Isaiah 43:25. It's a great verse. As humans, we have a hard time with forgetting. We can forgive, it's tough to forget. And that's where we need Jesus to help us. We need to bury the hatchet, but there is one. I remember growing up on the farm, my dad, I told this last night, kind of brought this all to the forefront. You know, we had to separate the cows from the calves, the calves from the cows, the mommies. And my dad said, Tim, I want you to run the gate. And I already went like, it's not a good idea. Because I know how our cows are going to be. The cows are going to hit that gate, make me fly, and calves will go with the cows, and I'm going to get in trouble. And that's exactly what happened. I saw the cows coming, I'm holding onto the gate, and I said, Tim, it's time for you to let go of the gate and get out of here because it's going to be a train wreck. I let go of the gate, the cows hit the gate, hit it open, and the calves went out, and my dad said, after a bunch of words that were not too kind, he said, you will never amount to anything. That hurt. And that's when I decided I was going to go into the army. And I did. I did tell my dad this before he died. So he didn't even remember it. But I said, that's why I went to the army. It's what you said to me, Dad. And I said, I forgive you. You know, it's just, it helped me a lot to go into the military as I became more of a man. Learned a lot of things I would never have learned otherwise if I wouldn't have done that. So I said, it's just something that God used in my life. And I wanted to go into service at some point in time, too. So I did that. When we say the Lord's Prayer together, which we will here in a little bit, you ever realize that little phrase in the Lord's Prayer that says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? God's going to forgive you and me on how we forgive one another. If we hold on to unforgiveness and we're not being forgiving, then how can God forgive us? And so the point is let us be people that knows how to forgive one another. Be gracious. Be patient with each other. There are things that are going to take place, are going to happen. It happens in every church. You're not my first church. I've seen this in a couple of other churches that I've served, that even people who go to church need to come to grab onto this and hold onto this, to be patient with one another and to be forgiving. Don't hold grudges. Don't hold forgiveness back on somebody. If you want to find an angry person or someone who doesn't get over things too easily, it's someone who's unforgiving. It'll just turn you sour. And it'll just eat you up inside if you cannot forgive. And so Jesus, look what he did for us. He went to the cross for our sins. How many sins did he die for you? You know, can't even count them all. But he loved me so much, and he loves you so much that he went to the cross and died for you. We can never repay him for what he did for us. But we need to be forgiving as he went to the cross for us. A good verse is found in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 32, it's the very last verse of chapter 4 in Ephesians. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Isn't that a beautiful verse? I need that. I need to hear that over and over again and read that over and over again too. So, are you forgiving? Are you holding on to some things today? You will never be set free until you learn how to forgive. Easier said than done, I know that. But with God's help, we can. With his help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your word today. Thank you for Peter, who brought up the question and who thought he was pretty smart, pretty smug about his answer of going above and beyond what the rabbis taught. But then Jesus, you bring in the full picture. Help us to be forgiving to one another and to have pity, to be merciful, and to be kind, and to just let sometimes people be people. But at the same time, Lord, just help us to be forgiving and not to let the things bother us, as sometimes they can do. Lord, there are things that happen in our lives we don't always understand, but you know all about them. And there's times where we just have to say, Lord, I can't forget this, but I want you to help me to forgive totally and completely. And when I think of it, I don't want it to bother me or to have those bad feelings come up towards somebody else. But may my forgiveness be like the king did here to the servant. May my forgiveness be like Jesus Christ as he went to the cross to forgive me of my sins. May I be that kind of a person in life as well, to be forgiven and to let you have control in all things that take place in my heart and in my life. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let us recite the Apostles' Creed together and then follow with the Lord's Prayer and the benediction today. Let us stand, shall we? You've been sitting a long time. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together as well. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Receive the benediction from God's word. It comes from Numbers chapter 6. At the end it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. May there be sunshine like it is outside today in your hearts and lives with hardly any wind. And to enjoy the day. This is the day that the Lord has made for you and me today. Let us rejoice in it.